Times are changing drastically every day as we face the worldwide impact of COVID-19. More than ever, we need to be reminded to lift our eyes to the Lord, who alone remains constant. Join now Pastor Silas Colner from Calvary Chapel Cape Cod for this Thursday night live broadcast. We pray you are encouraged tonight by the unchanging truths found in God's Word. If you have a question or a prayer request, you can call in at 508-901-9673. Again, that's 508-901-9673. Now let's join Pastor Silas Colner.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Calvary Chapel Cape Cod Sandwich. We're coming to you live from Calvary Chapel Cape Cod down in Sandwich, Massachusetts on the Cape. And once again, it's Thursday night. We have Pastor Forrest here and also Pastor Seth. Pastor Forrest and Pastor Seth, they co-pastor with me here at Calvary Chapel of Cape Cod. Been here for many decades now, and we are just blessed to be able to serve the Lord in this part of the state. And we are blessed that you are able to join us all over New England on this live broadcast show tonight. Last week, we went through Psalm 31, and this week, we're going to be going through Psalm 34 together. We're going to do the same format. We'll do a few verses. We'll read, and then we'll talk about it. Pastor Forrest, Pastor Seth, and Pastor and myself, Pastor Silas. I guess I'm Pastor Silas. I don't even think I introduced myself, but I was in the roll-in. There, that was covered. So we'll talk about God's Word, and then as you are listening and hopefully engaging in God's Word with us, because it's God's Word where we find comfort and strength, and we know the truth, and we know the life, and we know the way by studying the Word and learning of Jesus Christ. And so we'll take your calls at 508-901-9673. And just a warning, you know, if we don't get to your call, please leave a message and we will listen to that message and respond to it if we don't get to you. Or if we answer the phone call, you may be on hold for a minute. So the ringing will stop and you'll just hear silence, but just wait for us to get to a chance where we can get to your call. So you can also text in. We can also check out your text messages at 508-901-9673. That's 508-901-WORD. So, Pastor Forrest, would you mind opening us up in prayer this evening?
I'd be happy to. Lord, we look forward to hearing by your Spirit, your inspiration, your guidance. We appreciate the Word that you presented here tonight. As always, as we go through it, just quicken our heart to look to you from where our help comes. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Pastor Seth, why don't you take us through the first seven verses, if you mind reading them, and then maybe you could set the context for us a little bit.
Sure. Here we go. In Psalm 34, verses 1 through 7. And this is a psalm of David when he pretended madness before Abimelech, who drove him away and departed. Verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me out of all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Amen. The word of the Lord. So Psalm 34 is an interesting psalm, and you have to kind of go back in time and see what the context was when David was writing this. In 1 Samuel 21, David had been running away from Saul. He had been on the run, and for some crazy outlandish reason, David ends up in the city of Gath, which is where the Philistines were. He ends up in the city of Gath carrying Goliath's sword, the one he killed, and Gath is a city where Goliath was from. And David finds himself brought before the king, Ahimelech, and the king is saying, "This is David? David, the king of Israel, David, the one that's killed 10,000s. David was full of fear at that time. So how did he deal with it? What did he do? David, the mighty king of Israel. Surely he must have stood up with that sword. Now, David, it says in the Old King James, I love the Old King James where it says, he feigned madness. He pretended to be mad, spit running down his mouth, acted like he was a lunatic. And the king said, haven't I got enough mad people here in this city? Get this man out of here. He can't be David. And after that, David ends up hiding out in a cave with some of his merry men and alone until the Lord sends his family to him. And I believe it's there or thereafter he penned this psalm, Psalm 34.
Well, do you suppose he wandered over to the Philistine camp? I have an idea. I mean, being a pastor, I can ask rhetorical questions. I'm thinking he was tired of being chased down by Saul. You know, he thought maybe I'll get some rest over there and I'll get on, you know, past the DMZ, get on the other side and just hide away and quit, you know, being disturbed in my sleep, quit worrying about Saul coming after me. So bad move on his part. Not waiting on the Lord where he's at. And sometimes we make decisions too when we're in a tight situation and the Lord asks us to wait on him. And then we go and try to speed things up or try to find some relief and make some really stupid decisions in that pursuit.
So as we're looking at King David, and the reason we're taking this look at King David is because he's the one that wrote this psalm. And so King David, we see that he's on the run from Saul, and then he heads to the Philistines, which was walking into the hometown of the enemy. Then he is on the run from now Saul and the Philistines, and he finds himself in the cave of Adullam with a bunch of, I think they're described as distressed,
losers,
discontented, and in debt people.
Right.
So he does not have himself surrounded with the most uplifting bunch. And I was just thinking about that, you know, it just in the context of our COVID situation. And that's a circumstance that we all find ourselves in. And we find ourselves, you know, practicing social isolation, which I get and I understand. But it can get hard. We can get stir crazy. We can be in a house. I'm in a house of six, and it's easy in that house of six to be discontented, to be disgruntled, to be frustrated with the isolation, and at the same time feeling like there's this enemy all around us, and that enemy that I'm talking about is this virus that we're dealing with. And so that's one of the things I love about this psalm, is this psalm is for a person that finds themselves in a difficult, lonely, not necessarily happy place to be, where there's an enemy all around. And this psalm can teach us so much about what to do inside of our heart when our circumstances are in a dark place. In verse 1, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Now, I don't know. That's not my normal response in with a bunch of discontented, deaded, disgruntled people on the run from an enemy. I'm more likely to complain, self-medicate in some way to try and ease the pain. And yet here I find David declaring what he's going to do. Remember, David is a man after God's own heart. And here we see him as a man seeking after the heart of God. And the first thing he declares, he says, I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. That word bless literally means I'm going to kneel down to you. I'm going to show adoration towards the Lord God of heaven and earth. And we know that Lord is Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. I bet you he did that out of practice. I mean, that intro music we were hearing, that piano player, reminded me of my daughter when she was young taking lessons. And then you develop these muscle memories of certain chords. Well, maybe he didn't feel like blessing the Lord at the time, but I'll bet he realizes that if I choose to honor God and to bless him, even in spite of my circumstances, that my soul will begin to change. My heart will change. I don't feel like it, but he knows from practice you don't go by feelings. Nobody likes to practice. But now it's coming into play where he realizes, I will bless the Lord. It's a choice. It's a decision that he's making. And he wants to do it continually until he sees God move on his behalf.
Yeah, I'm just reminded of one of the blessings about being a Christian is we don't bless the Lord at all times to try and earn the Lord's blessing. We bless the Lord at all times because we already have his favor in the grace of Jesus Christ. And I know that I found it so important in my walk with Jesus to create well-worn paths in my mind and in my heart of blessing the Lord. And it's important to create those well-worn paths because in the good times, so that when the bad times come, the path's easier to get down of blessing the Lord because it's a familiar path. Mm. Seth, what do you think, moving on with his praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord.
Yeah, I mean, with David's response to this, I like the well-worn paths and the idea of him saying, being well-practiced. His praise is a response to him blessing the Lord and thinking back on how he's continually walked with the Lord. I find it interesting that oftentimes you'll see that when someone is blessing the Lord, there's praise that comes out of their mouths. I mean, why would somebody say something out of their mouth, right, as opposed to just thinking it? I mean, it's for the blessing of others, for the hearing of others. And here David is in this cave held up, and his praise is now on his mouth for his ragtag group of a few hundred to hear and to see. I mean, this is really where David's leadership starts to really take hold in a difficult, dark, dreary, lonely place. David decides in true leadership form to praise God and all his men. It's no wonder these men who are ragtag became heroes and brave soldiers that were dedicated to serving David who served the Lord. As David made his boast in the Lord, and he says, let the humble hear and be glad. Apparently these men around him must have had humble hearts because they were hearing and perhaps they were glad.
Well, they were downtrodden, all right.
That they were.
Humbled by their circumstances.
Humbled. Oh, we had a call and they were on hold. And sorry, if that was you that just hung up, call back in. I was just about to unhold you as Pastor Seth was finishing up that thought. So here we've got King David in difficult circumstances. And we find that he is blessing the Lord. He's showing adoration towards the Lord. He's praising. He's giving honor and respect and glory to the Lord. And then he says, my soul, my inner being is going to boast in the Lord. It's going to find its shine or its glory, or it's going to find its weight and value and worth in the Lord. And when we look into our outside circumstances and we try and find our worth in those, boy, that can change every day. But when we find our value, our worth, our significance, we let our soul find its boast in the Lord, there is where you're going to find some worth. And just reminded, if you're joining us just now, we're about 10 minutes into the program or so, you can call in at 508-901-9673. You can call or text. We're at a point now in the program where we'll try and jump right on the phone call as soon as it comes in. I apologize for that last caller that we did not get to you sooner. You can also text in your prayer requests or your questions. And please don't hesitate to do too. Prayer request questions, 901-9673. And if you're just joining us also, we are making our way through Psalm 34. So then what I find fascinating and I love here is because he's got a bunch of disgruntled people all around him and he just starts to turn his heart towards the Lord. And then he says, oh, magnify the Lord with me.
All right, you guys, come on.
That's right. Either get on the bus or get out, David is like, hey, this is not optional. This is where I have found it to be tried and true to find heart relief in difficult situations, in difficult circumstances, for the down and out and the depressed and distressed. He goes, I've been there, and here's what I do. And he's taking them with him. Hey, we got a call coming in. Hello.
Hello, who's this?
This is Pastor Silas. How are you?
I'm calling for a prayer request.
Sure, we would love to pray for you. What's your prayer request?
I want to pray for my son, William. He lives in Wellesley. He's out of work for a couple of weeks because he has the virus. He's really sick.
Oh, dear.
So your son, William?
William, in Wellesley? Yeah.
And he's sick right now, and so he needs prayer, and we will pray. Pastor Forrest, do you want to pray, or Pastor Seth, would you like to pray? I'm kind of fixing my mic right now.
Sure, I'd love to. Lord, even as David had brought his concerns to you, we bring this mom's concern about her son, Liam. She mentioned his job, but more so, Lord, get a hold of his heart and heal his body. May this virus just be slight and pass quickly. And may it also, Lord, be a way for him to look to you from where his help comes. And may he rejoice when he gets better and he's able to go back to work. And we thank you for this request, and
yes,
we look
Lord.
To you, God, because the humble, when we're humbled and downtrodden, we seek you and ask you for help. We thank you for hearing our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for calling in, and the Lord bless you and
yeah,
be
we'll
with you.
Keep him in prayer.
We will keep Liam in prayer. All right, so where were we?
Well, he's saying, he's encouraging the men there, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us lift up his name together. Sort of like kicking the guys, maybe when they're like, come on now, guys, let's praise the Lord. Because, and he gives the reason why here in verse 4. I sought the Lord, and the Amplified says, on the authority of his word, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. So this is why we want to praise the Lord, guys. And they look to him, we look to the Lord, and we become radiant. We become encouraged.
So when David was praising the Lord, he said, let's magnify the Lord together. Let's make him large in our hearts together. Pastor Seth, what was the? Can you explain the effect it had on other people?
Yeah, the effect of magnifying the Lord is pretty incredible, really. I mean, when I look at that, I think, you know, magnify the Lord. How do you make Jesus bigger than he is? He's larger than life. He's larger than the universe itself. When I take a look at this, though, really, it isn't magnify the Lord and make him bigger. It's understand him in a bigger way, a bigger capacity than my limited, finite mind can already. I take a look here, and you see that David is saying, let's magnify the Lord. Do this with me. Let's do this together. I love that, you know, praising and boasting and searching your soul and seeking the Lord brings other people into play. And that, you know, it's been said that there's no greater magnifying glass than the cross and the tomb. How do we magnify the Lord and see him in a greater way? So if the cross is the handle, then the tomb is the lens in which we see God and see Jesus through. So,
amen. So once again, 508-901-9673. Call or text us with your prayer request or questions about the Bible or especially about Psalm 34, what they're going through right now. We are now currently in verse 4 where it says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant and their faces were not ashamed. So I love David here. He's like, here's what we did. I sought the Lord. And then when I sought the Lord, I was not rejected. The Lord heard me. Even in my difficult circumstances, the Lord heard me. And I love this. It says, he delivered me from all my fears.
Right.
Now, is he still in the cave?
Yep.
Is Saul still on the hunt?
He is.
Are the Philistines like a beehive that's been a hornet's nest that's probably been rattled up a little bit? Absolutely. Mm. So has David been delivered from his distressors? No, not at all. But he's been delivered from his fears. And I was just thinking about this today. You know, here he is. He's blessing the Lord. He's praising the Lord. He's making his boast in the Lord. He's magnifying the Lord. He's calling his men who are a mess to join in with him. And he is sharing how the Lord has heard him and delivered. He's sharing a transformation that's happening in his heart as he draws near to God in heaven. And as it starts to happen in him and his fears are, as he's delivered from his fears, it says they all looked at him and were radiant. They started to get their shine on. They started to get their fears relieved from their hearts. And no longer did they bear the shame of what was ever getting them distressed, disgruntled, and in debt. And so it's, you know, a lot of people don't like the idea of fearing the Lord. But fearing the Lord is a wonderful thing, because you fear what you give the most honor to, what you give the most respect to. And when you honor and fear the Lord, when you give great respect and devotion to the Lord, it has a positive effect on the heart. It has an uplifting effect on the heart. But when you give your greatest respect and fear, if you will, honor to the things of this world, the circumstances that you find yourself in, if you give them so much weight, so much value, so much worth, that then you find out those things don't have a positive effect on the heart. They have a negative. Yeah, they have a negative effect on the heart, a disintegrating effect on the heart. And here David's able to lead his men into a place where he is shining, and they are taking on a shine as well. I remember this illustration of what does it mean to be radiant. And I think the illustration went something along like this. There was this mother, and she got news that her young son, who was off to battle in a wartime situation, she got word that he had died in battle. Well, it was a cross of communications, and she was informed about some other soldier. And so her son hadn't died. And when he came walking up that front walk, and she saw him when he was walking up the walkway, the expression that you can imagine on her face, that is a shine. That is to be radiant. And that's what's starting to happen as we see Jesus in our lives. There's a great shine. There's a great radiance that can happen because of the good news, really, of Jesus Christ. Who wants to kind of move us forward in verse 6.
This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him from all his troubles. And the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him with awe-inspired reverence and worship him with obedience. And he rescues each of them. So another posture is being reinforced here. And he's recalling how the Lord encamps around those who honor and awe, inspire and revere the Lord. I guess there's a real sense of protection there. Even though you're hiding and you're just waiting on the Lord, there's some peace there that enters the place when you humble yourself and you put all your hopes on him. And I think this is the difference between those that don't know the Lord and those that do. Those that don't have no hope and can only rely on their circumstance, whereas those that do understand from that relationship with God that he is able and willing to hear your prayer and to be with those that surround himself with the Lord in his praise.
Amen. You know, one of the things I love here for us in this is who's the one that's doing the saving? Who's the one that's doing the delivering? The saving and the delivering?
Oh, God himself.
Is God himself.
Sure.
You know, and that's if you're in a hard situation and you say, okay, do I have to deliver myself or save myself, or can I have God deliver me and save me? I'm going to bet that God can do a better job at it than I can.
He always does.
No, any thoughts on that, Pastor Seb?
Oh, when it comes down to it, as a father, as a husband, and a pastor, there are times in my mind I think I can handle a lot. I can do a lot. I've got a lot of responsibility, a lot of things, a lot of pressure and weight is on my shoulders. I've got to get things done. But when the reality hits, it's just the weight of a feather really crushes me when the pressure is on. And I'm so grateful that it is the Lord. It says here, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. We know that when it says the angel of the Lord, this is who showing up but Jesus, right? Jesus shows up when we're not able to continue pressing forward, to carry the weight. He's the one that says, I'll carry your burdens. And David here recognizes that he's just a poor man. He's a humble man, though he's destined to be king. I love that David humbles himself. And it reminds me of the Beatitudes where Jesus opens his mouth, it says in Matthew 5:2, and he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Mm-hmm. And he goes on to say even deeper, even more than just being poor in spirit, but blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. I'm so grateful that the weight and the pressure can be passed on to Jesus, and that when we're poor, when we're broken, when we're mourning, it's the Lord himself that comforts us. We don't have to just comfort ourselves or rely on our own abilities, but it's the Lord that's there with us.
Amen. Amen. Hey, so if you're just joining us, I'm Pastor Silas, and I've got Pastor Forrest and Pastor Seth. We are the pastors of Calvary Chapel of Cape Cod down in Sandwich and Yarmouth, Massachusetts. Yeah, we got one church, two locations. It's a great situation. And if you want to call in with your questions, 508-901-9673. And you can text us at that number. You can call in with your question or prayer request. I got one text here that's coming in. It says, for those who don't know how to, quote, fear the Lord, what steps would be needed to start and progress? For those who don't know how to fear the Lord, what steps would be needed to start fearing the Lord and progress in their fear of the Lord?
Well, a humble heart, we see David found himself. And so the first thing is to recognize that regardless of how you got here, whether it was the virus, whether it was poor choices, now you're in a situation where, okay, I'm humbled by my circumstance. So to begin to open up to God, the first step would be to be humble about it and to bow your heart before the Lord and say, I'm here, Lord. However I got here, I'm just going to present myself. And I know from what I'm hearing from these pastors and from the Bible that if I go to you, that you would help me. So being a humble heart is a good thing. Putting pride behind you, whatever excuses that you may have had, why you decided what you decided, all those take a back seat. Just humble yourself.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there, Pastor Forrest. It all starts with humility. The pride is going to be the barrier to the fear of the Lord. And fearing the Lord, man, it's the beginning of wisdom, isn't it? That's what it says in the Proverbs, right? Mm-hmm. To fear the Lord. And I think it is humility to say, you know what? I don't know the way. I don't know the truth. I've tried this, and here's how that worked out for me. I ended up in a cave, depressed, distressed, and downtrodden, and in a ton of debt. And so when it comes to life, I realize everything that I thought was right didn't work out so well. So I'm going to go and seek the Lord, my Creator, and I'm going to do that in humility, and I'm going to come as a wreck, and I'm going to just start blessing the Lord. I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to magnify the Lord. I'm going to have my soul find its boast not in myself, but in the Lord. And I'm going to humble myself. And in that humility, then we start walking by faith and trusting to do what the Lord teaches us to do.
Now, verse 8 here, we have, O taste and see that the Lord our God is good. How blessed, fortunate, prosperous, and favored by God is the man who takes refuge in him. So that's a declaring, in David's case, from history. And in your case, if you've never humbled yourself before the Lord, you can take our word. I know I have some history with God, and I've made some poor choices in my life. And I've seen God pull me through and mature me and cause me to grow. And so you can take that testimony and use that and offer that up to the Lord. And so we take David's testimony here, saying how blessed and fortunate is a person, is the man who takes refuge in him. And he goes on to say in verse 9, Oh, reverently fear the Lord, you his saints, believers, and holy ones. For those who fear him, there is no want. So it takes a little bit of faith here now, where he instructs us for those who are believers. Hmm. And then declaring, holy ones? I'm not so sure I'm so holy, but I know that Jesus died on the cross in place of my sins, that I might take on his righteousness. So it would be Christ's righteousness in me, and it would be his holiness for sure. So I am very grateful, Lord, and appreciative that you did that for me through your Son.
Amen. What I'm starting to see here, too, is as we kind of see the progression, you know, David in the cave with a bunch of distressed people, himself on the run and enemies all around and in a place where he could get very down and depressed. And then he humbles himself before the Lord. He draws near unto the Lord. He has himself delivered from his fears. He starts to take on a shine of a changed heart. And then he says, do this with me, boys. And he starts to see their countenance start to change and how the Lord is delivering them, not out of their circumstances, but delivering them out of the cesspool of their heart that is just turned dark. And now he's like, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. It's like, in my mind, I see, drink up, boys. And what is that drink up? It's drink up what the presence of God, because even though we're in the dark cave, God is here with us. And when you're in his presence, man, drink that up, because that is the place. Blessed can be often defined as, oh, how happy. When you are taking in the presence of God, oh, how happy. And how did it come to be? It was a matter of humility, blessing, praise, and turning and fearing the Lord. Like it says here, those you fear you, Lord, those who are his saints, those who are his set apart ones. And then verse 10 kind of ties right into what we're saying. Who are the ones that aren't going to be get this blessing? Who are the ones that are going to suffer? Verse 10 says, the young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. And when I think of young lions, I just think of a bunch of fighting for territory and for who's going to have the most gals.
No, at all.
No, you know, literally like the young lions fighting for who's going to be the alpha male of the pride. And they're just going after one another, and it's all backstabbing and bickering and trying to be the one on top. And David has shown them the place of blessing, taste and see that the Lord is good. When you stop all that, humble yourself before the Lord and just boast in him and seek him and trust him, have faith in him. Man, that's where your life starts to change.
And to further answer the question, David even explains in verse 11, come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you to fear the Lord with awe-inspired reverence and worship him with obedience. And I like the Amplified, because it spells out how you do it. It's called obedience. First, humble your heart, and then worship. And then verse 12, who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good. Well, if that's you, if that looks like you, or that's who you want to be, verse 13 says, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. You know why? Because in verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, those with moral courage and spiritual integrity, and his ears are open to their cry. Now, most people have the view of God as he's waiting for you to screw up and then he's going to conk you on the head, where that is the worst theology. The Bible doesn't even come close to teaching that. But we have a lot of religions that teach that. And that's not God at all. Because if you're humbled and you attempt to turn from evil, place yourself in God's hands, it says that the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, those that gain righteousness through Jesus Christ. And then you eventually get the moral courage to place yourself at his mercy. And then God hears your cry. God looks forward to listening to you in that situation. In fact, how often you as fathers look forward to the advice of your children. I know all my kids are grown, but as they are adults, it's kind of nice when they call me on the phone and ask me for my advice.
Right.
And it's encouraging to me, and it's great to, you know, demonstrate a little wisdom from all my years. And how it must bless the Lord when we go to him for his advice.
Amen. Hey, if you're listening with us on 88.3 Renew FM tonight, this is Pastor Silas, Pastor Forrest, and Pastor Seth at Calvary Chapel, Cape Cod. We are making our way through Psalm 34, King David in the cave of Adullam, and how he dealt with a place of anxiety, fear, distress, and a bunch of disgruntled men that had joined him in that dark place. And if you have a question or a prayer request, please text us or call us at 508-901-9673. And we'll try and get to the line as soon as we can. If we don't get to you, please leave a message. If we do get to you, it may be a moment of silence as we put you on hold to get you in as soon as we can. Seth, do you have any thoughts on, you know, verses 11 through 14 there? Come as children, listen to me. I will teach you to fear the Lord and such.
Yeah, you know, verse 10 says that those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. And I can think, and we can think oftentimes, sitting in a cave all alone in a time now, and many of us are lacking. How many people is it? 22 million went on unemployment in the last week or whatever it is?
Right.
There's a lot of lacking going on, but it says that those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. And I can kind of start to ask myself, what gives? What do you mean? There are some good things that I'm missing out on. But it makes me think of Jesus when the scribes and Pharisees were talking to him and then they were trying to trick him. They said, oh, good teacher. And he says, hang on a minute. Jesus says, hang on a minute. He says in Luke 18, why do you call me good? You know, Jesus asks questions not because he's looking for the answer, but he's getting people to think, right? Why do you call me good? There is only one who is good, and that is God alone. Jesus is declaring in this verse, he's declaring that he is God. He is the good thing. Here it says, he who seeks the Lord lacks no good thing.
Amen.
And when we're seeking the Lord, the good thing that we get isn't the goods, but it's Jesus himself who's good. It makes me think of Jeremiah 29. Let's see if I can find it here. Jeremiah 29, not 11, but Jeremiah 29:13. It says, you know, in regards to those who are going and praying to him and listening, he says, I'll listen to you. In verse 13, he says, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. And I'm just grateful that the good thing that the Lord says you will find is me. Mm. It's not what you get from being around me. It's me. So here in the cave, David still has his same circumstances. Life is still difficult. But he finds the Lord and he finds something that is incredible. One of the things I think about in regards to humbling ourselves and the fear of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom, if we can humble our people, can get past the point to this caller's question earlier too, past the point of humbling ourselves, then I think Maybe one of the next steps for people is, I'll just be really direct, is consider the cross. Consider what Jesus did for you. Consider the love that Jesus demonstrated on the cross all for you and I, so we can have joy and closeness with him again.
Hey, you know, one of the things I was just thinking about right now is, you know, when he says, come, you children, listen to me, I will teach you to fear the Lord. And we learn that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And what did David just do? He just made a really bad decision.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
He made a decision to go to the land of to Gad, to the place of the Philistines, to the place where Goliath was from. And that was a really bad decision. And I think that was a bad decision because I think he was running full of anxiety in his heart because Saul was chucking spears at him before.
Right.
And when David got caught up into his circumstances, let the anxiety rise in his heart. And you know what anxiety tends to do? Makes you make bad decisions.
Poor choices, right?
You make irrational decisions. You make rash decisions when you're in a state of anxiety. And that's one of the things, you know, I got a wonderful text here. It says, worshiping God is the choice and action that changes our perspective, taking away fear and anxiety. So as David worshiped God, took away the fear and anxiety, now he's starting to share, hey, you know what, guys? You're in this place. This is where wisdom is, because this is where your heart can, like you said, wait on the Lord, hear what he has to say, and then make your decisions on desiring to bless the Lord and not making your decisions being controlled by your anxieties and fears.
Right.
Because your fear of the Lord sets you free from those to then make decisions in wisdom. But we got to be what? Like children. To be talked at men in a cave.
Yes, children.
Children.
Yeah.
You know, but it's a whole different perspective when you say a child of the living God.
It shows relationship.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. Yep. Relationship. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Hey, we got a prayer request here. It says, please pray for my boyfriend. He thinks he's a Christian. I used to also. But his behavior, etc., says otherwise. I try to seize opportunities to lead him to Jesus, but nothing seems to be getting better because he thinks he's close to God already. Would you please pray for me? Thank you. Pastor Seth, you want to pray for that? You got to jump over here and grab the... Oh, no, it's not online. Never mind. It's not a phone call. It's a text. You don't need the phone call microphone. You just need that mic or the radio microphone.
Yeah, so, dear Father, we just pray for this man and this situation here, Lord God. We pray that his faith would be great, Lord, in you. Not because of a simple believing that you exist, but Lord, I pray that this man would taste and see that you are good, that you would fill him and who he is, and that from the inside out, there would be a transformation, a change of his heart that would cause his actions to change as well. And I pray for the girlfriend, Lord. I pray that she would have a heart of patience and allowing the Lord to do the work, allowing you, Jesus, to do the work in this man.
Yeah.
And God, I pray that there would be great fruit in this relationship. I pray that there'd be great fruit in a relationship with you, with these two, Lord God. We pray these things in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
You know,
Lord,
God is faithful, and it's so important for us to remain patient because his timing isn't our time. My timing is, Lord, give me patience. I want it now. His timing is wait and see. Watch how good I am. And he does amazing things.
Thank you, Pastor Seth, for doing that for us. I think you already kind of started off. Could you move us forward beginning in verse 15? Kind of restart there.
Sure. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, those with moral courage and spiritual integrity. And his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. Verse 17, and when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and rescues them from all their distress and troubles. What I'm seeing here is a contrast of the righteous and the unrighteous. And I'm seeing here those that are righteous have that relationship with God that David is pursuing at this moment. And I'm also seeing here that it was a choice David made in his heart right from the beginning of this chapter. And I'm seeing here that sin gets in the way of our relationship with God. It disenfranchises our opportunities and gives a foothold to the enemy, Satan, who would like to see us made in God's image, see us trip up and destroy. So he's saying here, the face of the Lord is against those who do evil and to cut off the memory of them from the earth. He wants to give you the gravity of the situation. If you don't have a relationship with God, as Pastor Seth mentioned, through Jesus Christ, then we want to show you the gravity of your circumstance. And the Lord is against those who deliberately turn their heart away from God, who deliberately choose evil. And those who deliberately, habitually sin will be cut off from God. So
you see a couple times here that, you know, the Lord is toward the righteous. And he says, when the righteous cry for help. And I got to be honest, I look at my life, I look at my past, I look at my present, I think about my future, and I think, well, how can I be called righteous? How is it that the Lord could possibly look on me? And you've already said it, Pastor Forrest, you've mentioned that it's through Jesus Christ, through him and accepting him and allowing him into our heart and allowing him to be the king of our lives. It's amazing what happens, how God all of a sudden, he doesn't see me for my sin and all the things and the garbage that I've produced from my hands and my mouth. Suddenly he sees me through Jesus' lenses. He sees me like he sees his son. Because I mean, honestly, if I'm honest about it, even the good things that I do for the pat on the back or to boast myself up, or build myself up and feel good about myself, there's really nothing righteous that I do. But when I accepted Jesus, you guys know, when the Lord came into my heart and I realized the Lord looks at me the way he looks at Jesus, it's amazing. I become righteous. So now, therefore, the Lord looks to me and he hears my cry. And not because of how good I've done or how many times I've been to church this week or how many prayers I've said, but simply because I'm his son. And we're back to relationship again, aren't we? Here it always are. Circles around to that.
Well, you know what? As I was going through the scripture, getting ready for tonight, you know, being on the radio and you are just the Holy Spirit's, I think, confirming something because of what you've said, Pastor Forrest, and what you've said, Pastor Seth. And, you know, and I was reading it and you know, once again, I hear like the eyes of the Lord, the ears, the faces towards, and those are all these relational aspects, eyes, ears, face. They're relationally, that's how we connect with people relationally, you know, face to face, and we're looking into each other's eyes and we're hearing each other's voices. And so there's this relational thing definitely going on. And you can see how when there's positive attention when it comes to this relationship, then the Lord intervenes. But if you give the Lord zero attention, then there's no intervention. And I was just thinking about it because of the righteous thing, and you guys already touched on it. But they're talking about a righteousness by law here.
Right.
It's a righteousness by relationship.
Yeah.
And because righteousness by law is like, if I do all the right things, then I'm righteous, and that's going to draw the eyes of the Lord to me. Well, are any of these guys in the cave righteous by the law at the moment?
Way.
No. But have they experienced the eyes of the Lord turned towards them? Absolutely. So what's going on here is they are becoming righteous relationally. And how do you become righteous relationally? They just humbled their heart and they turn to the Lord. They cry out to the Lord. They turn their face to the Lord. They turn their ears to the Lord. And the Lord says, come here, child. And you can see that he receives and he intervenes. And that's when we see, how do we get to this place where we want to be righteous, relationally righteous, is when our hearts are what? Broken. When we recognize that our hearts are shattered, they're maimed, they're crippled, they're wrecked. And those who have a contrite spirit, our spirit is dust or crushed to powder. And that's when our fears change and we get caught up into a greater love than all of our fears. And that's God himself. When you have a relational righteousness. And when we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, he imparts a righteousness to us that makes the relationship unbreakable.
And Pastor Silas, you were just referring to verse 18, right? This is one of my favorite verses.
Yeah, go ahead. Talk to it, Seth.
Yeah. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. I'm going to repeat it again. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. I mean, is this a verse that speaks volumes, and it speaks to volumes of people in the present moment and in life? I mean, how many of you out there right now are feeling brokenhearted over something? How many of you are feeling crushed over the weight and the pressure right now? Maybe it's the financial pressure, the emotional strain. Maybe you're in solitude, you're isolated, you're alone. The Lord says, I am near to you. Blessed are those who mourn. I am near to you, you who are poor in spirit. Not when you've got it all together. Not when you've figured it all out and got your ducks in a row. Not when you've cleaned up your act. Does Jesus say, I am near to you? He says, listen, when you're broken, when you feel like there's no hope at all, and you have a humility in your heart that is willing to contemplate the cross in me, he says, I'm near to you. Humble yourself and open your eyes, and you will see that I'm right there with you. I love that God does not leave us alone, right, guys?
Amen.
Amen.
I love that.
Amen. So we're running up on about just 5 minutes left in the program. So if you have a prayer request or a question about, you know, anything with the God, about the Lord, the Bible, or whatever it may be, please give us a call, 508-901-9673. Pastor Forrest, Pastor Seth, and myself, we would love the privilege to minister to you through God's word or through prayer. And if you're maybe a little bit nervous about making a phone call on the radio, please text us at that same number, 508-901-9673. We've got a few texts tonight. Really appreciate them. And keep them coming. Keep them coming. The one of the things that I was just thinking about this. The Lord is near the brokenhearted and saves those with a contrite spirit. That is, to me, is okay. You realize your heart is at the lowest place, but when you're crushed like that and you say, "Lord, save me," his immediate response is to bring his life into your life in such a way that it uplifts your heart. And that's what we call joy. That's what I call joy. It's when my heart is uplifted by the Lord. My circumstances may be pressing me down. My circumstances may be because of my own decisions or because of just what craziness is going on in the world. My circumstances may be down. But when we get to that place where we say, Lord, save me, there, even in the difficult circumstances, the Lord has the ability to give us a joy and uplift in our heart. We can start to sense a rise and like we saw before, a shine and on our countenance. And we can move forward even in the afflictions. It says, verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones, not one of them is broken. Any thoughts on that, Pastor Forrest? That's kind of a interesting verse.
Well, it's a little disappointing. I thought when I became a Christian, I wouldn't have any more hardship.
Who sold you that?
Unfortunately, there's a lot of television evangelists that try to sell that bag of goods. But I'll tell you what, because of our hardships and perplexing circumstances, we learn to depend on the Lord, and he guides us through it and causes us to be more strong, or causes us to be more mature and strong. And the Lord rescues him from them all.
Amen. Amen. One of the things that I find wonderful about here, it's not that your life will be free from affliction, but the Lord will always deliver you through affliction.
That's correct.
And he guards his bones, and not one of them is broken. And one of the things I see in that, Seth and I were talking about it earlier this week, is that the structure of your life, the structure of your body, will not be destroyed. And when you are trusting in the Lord, you may receive some affliction, but the structure will stand strong. And Lord, pardon me, Lord Seth. No, Pastor Seth.
Blasphemy.
It's only Lord Jesus. Pastor Seth, Can you talk maybe a little bit about how this is prophetic?
Yeah, this is prophetic. You know, it says that not one of his bones will be broken. And that points to Jesus, right? I mean, there's many scriptures in the Old Testament that say that the Messiah's bones will not be broken. It says in John 19:36, "For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled, not one of his bones shall be broken." That's referring to Jesus on the cross, dying in a short amount of time. They would, if the people that were crucified did not die in an appropriate time, you know, for you see, Jesus was killed before the Passover, and they didn't want to have him hanging on the cross during the Passover because that just wouldn't be right. The Roman soldiers would break the bones, the legs, so that they would. And then, so that they would have to die, but Jesus, not one of the bones would be broken.
Amen. So we didn't quite make it to the end of the scriptures tonight. We've got just 1 minute left. Pastor Forrest, would you close us in prayer? And would you please remember the elderly and the sick, especially those isolated in family in rehabs and nursing homes, because they're getting hit pretty hard by this COVID. And I'm sure, sure there might be a lot of lonely people out there in those situations. Maybe they're listening tonight.
And I especially pray for my brother. He had a stroke.
Yep.
And he can't get visitors. So those similar circumstances to my brother and those that find themselves in that lonely cave, that lonely place, Lord, we pray as they cry out to you and humble their hearts that you would find them and that you would minister to them and they would sense and feel your spirit about them. Lord, you said you redeem the souls of those who seek you and that none who take refuge in you will be condemned. And I pray this for each listener out there. May they be encouraged by your spirit. Mm-hmm. May they rely on Christians that are around them. Though we fail at times, may we learn to depend on you, O God, and serve one another in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And for some reason, my music is not working.
I could sing, but it wouldn't be a blessing.
No.
Start making the noise.
You've been listening to Renew FM, and we're so blessed you could join us tonight for our Thursday edition of our live broadcast with Pastor Silas Kohlner. We pray this time encouraged you and helped lift your eyes off the chaos of the COVID-19 crisis and unto Jesus, who remains on his throne and who also is with you right now in this very moment. Join us next time for our live broadcast. You can also call Renew FM at 888-310-PRAY.